Blog Talk Radio.
What is up, everybody? There we go. Bye-bye, Echo. All right. Success Saturday. We made it. I actually had a couple of co-hosts that were going to join me this week and give me kind of a little bit of a break from talking. So I'm very long-winded, but holy cow, when you start going on hour-long little ventures and just talking for a complete hour. Definitely takes its toll. Unless I've actually been making it to work. So, yeah, there's lots and lots of fun stuff to go over today. And I do have, after making several phone calls, I do have somebody joining me so that I'm not in it with you alone. We'll have lots of fun. Dirk Gehring's going to be coming on here. Let's go ahead and start sharing some quotes. Like, these things are things to live by, and they'll get your brain thinking, help get you through your week when you're having a hard time. Success is the journey, not a destination. The doing is often more important than the outcome. You know, you're gonna accomplish a goal, and then you're gonna turn around and make a new goal. So you can't say that once you become this certain category of successful that you're going to give up, because in order to maintain that, you're going to have to keep on making new goals. And that's, you know, kind of the object of motion, stay in motion, where you have to just keep going. Like, there is no stopping. There is no, oh, I'm successful, I can quit now. You know, times change. We look back on our great-grandparents and what they thought was successful. And, you know, look at what they used to pay for a gallon of milk. And they retired off of an income that, you know, they were paying like 10, 15 cents for a gallon of milk. Thankfully, the prices of milk have gone down. Although I don't know that I trust the fact that there's one whole milk for $3.49, which is what milk used to be before the government passed the program like 2 years ago, to where now we have milk that's available for 99 cents, which, by the way, completely destroyed the market for farmers as far as, you know, their income and what they make off of, you know, what they're selling and their livestock. Because you got to think about, you know, the medication these animals have to receive, the constant care. Like, that's a 24-hour care. It's so crazy. You know how one little difference can impact so much. At first, they'll ask you why you're doing it. Later, they'll ask you how you did it. And that's so true, because, you know, they'll tell you that you're a fool for even believing that you can, and then they'll want to be able to do it since you proved to them that you are capable, you know. Like, there's so many people that have lack of belief, but the key is to just definitely believe in yourself. I think I do have Dirk on the line. Hey, what's up? Can you hear me?
Hey, Taser, how you doing?
I'm doing good. I am so thankful that I have you on the line and can help me kind of get through the day. I have been working the last 2 days in a row, so you're talking about 8-hour shift of talking. Because I kind of thought that I had this planned, but the only plan that there is the one that's not going to happen. You know what I mean? Like, they always change. They're crazy.
Well, the only constant is change.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I thought I was going to go camping on Friday, and then the forecast was overcast, so I ended up switching my work schedule so that I could go camping today. I'm like, as soon as I get done with the radio show, I get to go head out and enjoy camping with the children and the meteorite shower. I've seen some videos on Facebook. It's pretty awesome. I'm going to try to figure out how to use time-lapse on my camera for the first time ever.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned that, because just a few days ago, I get up pretty early in the morning to go to work, and it's still very dark out. And I think I've told you I live pretty far into the woods, and as I was driving down my driveway, I saw the brightest shooting star meteor just streak across the sky, and it made my heart skip a beat. It was so bright. And I looked it up and realized it is time for the Perseid meteor shower to come through. So I hope everybody gets a good clear sky and can go out and put out a blanket and have a drink or two and look up into the sky and see one of the greatest visual displays that nature has for us.
And it's not supposed to be this bright for like another 96 years or something either.
Yeah, that's what I heard. It's supposed to be just an outstanding show. And anybody who misses it is just, I don't know what you're doing with your time. I hope you've got something much better to do that only happens once every 100 years. But go check it out.
Right, definitely, definitely. I remember when I was in Florida one time, I don't even know if it was like a certain shower or what it was, but I used to deliver newspapers down in like Stuart, Florida, Port St. Lucie, Sewell's Point area. And me and my friend, we were out delivering papers, and I delivered to the jail. So the area around the jail, I also delivered to, and I was delivering to these newspapers to these apartment complexes. And I remember thinking, well, the only thing behind me is the jail, and hopefully no one's escaped and they're just, like, making their rounds, because it was almost as if someone had shined headlights on me, and it startled me for being, like, 3 o'clock in the morning and knowing that there's no roads coming from that direction. Even more so when I turned around and I saw, like, a giant, like, if you imagine looking into the sky and seeing the sun, it looked as if the sun had fallen from the sky, because there was a big circle equivalent to that big. Obviously, it was in our atmosphere, so it wasn't, like, as big as the sun itself, like, literally or whatever. But it was like a giant blue ball of flames, and it had, like, a tail on it because of whatever gases were burning off, obviously. But I remember calling my friend, and she answered her phone. She said, "I saw it, too. I know that's why you're calling me." And I was just like, dude, the sky is going to fall on our heads. Like, we were both terrified. We talked on our phones the entire rest of our newspaper routes because we really had no idea what was going on. And neither of us had ever seen anything that big. I called a friend of mine that was like an hour and a half away, and he's like, "Yeah, I saw it too." And I was like, dude, I don't even know what's going on. And the next day we took our kids to the park, and I'm not even kidding. We saw shooting stars in the middle of the day, like, we're sitting on the park bench, and the shooting star goes flying over the swing set, and I was like, I think it's time to go inside. Like, is the end of the world happening, and nobody told us about it?
Well, you know, on top of that, we also have that solar eclipse coming up that is going to be visible only through very specific parts of the country. I think North Carolina is going to be a good viewing area. Obviously, you don't want to look directly at a solar eclipse, but that's coming up as well. So we have some very interesting celestial phenomena to check out.
I think I've noticed the difference in people's attitude too. Have you noticed, like, people are just a little off? Like,
well, we also just had the full moon, and you know what happens on those nights. Those are nights that police officers and emergency rooms get real nervous.
Right. I'm telling you, because, like, I logged into my site, like, on Monday, and I was like, wow, this is how Mondays are. I'm not going to be doing Mondays very often, you know? I'm like, I'm just like, I can't handle your guys' vibes. And then as the week got later, I've seen a couple of other people posting that people and their attitudes this week have just been, like, on one, and then I started putting it all together, and I'm like, well, the universe, the magnets, you know, a lot of our body, like, I mean, they sell those health magnets to help with your blood flow and stuff. So, like, basically the magnets in the earth have been, are getting set off a little bit by these other phenomenons happening. And so it's affecting people and their personalities. Not that they needed any help with that, but.
Right.
Pretty crazy. It's so awesome. And, you know, intriguing on how much the earth and the things that go on within the earth have effect on us.
Well, absolutely. I mean, you know, you can point to certain metaphysical aspects, but there are also very real astrophysical and physical things that go on with the planet. I mean, our own moon changes our earthly gravitational field enough to change the tides twice a day. So there could be something more into that. Who knows? You know, as
right.
far as the moon and other things affecting the way people behave. And you get a full moon, there's more light at night, and that can upset, you know, certain people's sleep cycles. I don't know how that affects the population at large.
It'd definitely be something interesting to have, like, to get holes in the studies of. I just popped up this quote here by Helen Keller that says, and it's funny because Dirk Daring is on the phone with me, life is either a daring adventure or nothing. I think there's kind of some truth in there, you know, like, you're either sitting on your couch somewhere doing nothing, or you're going out and experiencing things like the meteor showers and different phenomenons of the world.
So I don't know how much I agree with that, because that sounds a little too one way or another. You're either doing nothing or you're having the greatest adventure. There are also some people out there who just follow the routine and do what they're supposed to do. I get up in the morning and I eat breakfast and I walk the dog and I go to work and I do my job and I pay my taxes and I come home and I, you know, watch the news and start over the next day. You know,
right, but
that's
is that
kind of the gray area.
Is that life or is that like autopilot?
It's more than nothing, but at the same time,
right.
it's not a life worth examining.
Right? We're like, did you eat Cinnamon Toast Crunch for the 390th day in a row? people have their... There are definitely people who are like, it's crazy how you said, you know, the only constant is change, and there's, you know, the government and everybody is like implanted into everyone's head that change is, you know, something to resist. And it's like, that's the only thing that's guaranteed to happen. Like, so.
Right. Oh, no, the only guarantees are death and taxes. Is that it?
That too, definitely.
I think that was Mark Twain.
Be fearless, suit of what sets your soul on fire. A lot of people don't get the opportunity to do that because they have been, you know, trained to do as Dirk was just saying. And, you know, you wake up at the same time every day, breakfast at the same time every day, or pretty close to it. And you go through the same routine. And, you know, the ones that become successful are the ones that find out what their passion is. And I guess that you can define success on so many different realms, but I don't know that.
It's interesting you say that, because success isn't just about taking action. It's about accepting risk. You know, nobody ever succeeded the first time they tried. They had to try and fail and find out what's not working and make it happen again. It's like, another great quote is the one from Wayne Gretzky, the famous hockey player, who said, "You miss 100% of the shots you don't take."
I've heard that one a lot of times, a lot. You know, the biggest step is the first one. I have so many quotes in my head that I don't even – mostly they're not my quotes, just so you guys know. They're things that I've read in books or, like, been, like, military imprinted into my mind by a sales company I used to work for. So I don't take credit for any of the quotes that do come out of my mouth, just so you're aware. If I come up with a quote, I will let you know, hey, that was pretty cool, I just came up with that. But I do not own any of these quotes. You can find them if you want to do some research on the exact quote online, and I'm sure you can figure out who the original authors were. Winners are not people who never fail, but people who never quit. You know, you're going to find out through your failures how to succeed. You know, when they made the light bulb, I'm sure they got electrocuted like an insane amount of times, and that didn't stop them. You know,
well,
never
it's, It's also through your failures that you find out who sticks behind you, because nobody ever succeeded just doing it on their own.
No, they don't. You only have so many hours in your day, days in your week, weeks in your month, months in your year, years in your life, and you know, you're not going to gain an extra 40 hours just because you're gravitating towards your goals. Like, teamwork definitely makes the dream work, and you have to build those relationships with like-minded individuals that will hold you accountable when you slip. You know, I know that was one of the main things, is like, on the road to success, there is going to be a lot of failure, and sometimes people just don't know how to take the failures because they look at them as not a learning experience, but as a giving up point. And in order to get past that, you definitely have to train your mind that the more times I fail, the closer I am to my success, because you've now learned 20 times how to not do the thing that you're trying to do. So that's eliminated 20 possibilities of you failing. You, like, you've already mastered those. So you're just that much closer to success. We used to when we did door-to-door sales, it used to get so frustrating when people would slam a door in your face. And so we had to literally retrain our brains that one out of every 10 will open the door, and one out of 10 of those 10 would possibly be a sale. And so when we would have 3 or 4 doors slammed in our face, we would kind of laugh it off and start running to the next door, because you're like, man, I got 6 more before I can actually get my pitch in. And usually because of the positive vibe of you not caring that it's going to be a failure, you know, it helps you actually bring success. Because if you walk up to someone and thinking you're going to fail, whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. That quote is so true. So very true.
Yes, absolutely. And that points to starting with the self. You have to believe that what you want to accomplish can be done and will be done. One thing that I've always focused on is, you know, people should never say, I should quit smoking, or I should start going to the gym. Say, I will. Because that makes all the difference. If you just say, I should, that gives you the out of letting yourself fail. If you say, I will, that gives you the determination that you're actually going to do what you set your mind on.
Right. They say that you need to write your goals in like, I think it was called like a perfect present tense. So even more so than that is, I am going to the gym. I have quit smoking. Like, you have to ask as if you've already accomplished it. They say do the job that you want, so eventually you'll get the job that you want to have. Meaning that, you know, when you're around the office and someone asks you to do something, instead of saying, well, that's not my job, take it upon yourself to do the things that you're not asked to do, because then later you'll end up getting paid for those things that you did without being asked. That's how you get your promotions and your raises and stuff, is going over and beyond. You know, so many times, all the time, like, people are just like, well, that's not my problem, you know?
Well, you're absolutely right about that. And, you know, even if you are unable to do what's asked of you, you can either say, you know, I don't know, or I can't do that, but I will find the person or the people who can make that happen.
Well, that one was worded really well, really weird. Here's a good one. Your goals don't care how you feel. Like, whether you feel like doing it or not, like, they don't care. They're just going to sit there at the back burner and wait for you to feel like it. So if you want to meet with something, let's see. Colin Powell says, success is the result of perfection, hard work, learning from failure, loyalty, and persistence. you know, and I think that has to do with your goals. Like, you know, you're going to have to perfect how to, and perfecting something, practice makes perfect, that comes from failing, you know. You can't get perfect without failing repeatedly. No one just comes out of the gate and is just perfect. And I don't even think perfection is really a true word, because there's so many different, like even in playing a song, there's so many different ways that you could perfect the same notes. You know, no one's the same. And I think that, you know, just making sure that you don't, that you are persistent and loyal, and that you learn from your failure instead of accepting it. Another good one would be, your opinion will never cut me a check. All the time I see people in our industry and even in general, you know, they live their, and even myself, you know, I would be where I was 15 years ago had I not cared about everybody else's opinion of me. And because of that, you know, I'm getting like, I basically, you know, put a 15-year hold on my success and my dreams and my goals because, you know, what would my family think? What will my little sisters think? What will my kids think? You know, what, you know, and it doesn't matter what anyone thinks, first off, because no matter what you do, there is going to be someone out there that does not like you for what you do, whether it be a positive thing or a negative thing. There's always going to be someone out there. You know, like the Boilermakers, they get picked on a lot because their job is hard and they're always dirty. But you know what? Without them, society would not even be functioning. And it really doesn't matter what you do. Other people's opinions aren't going to cut you a check. They're also not going to create your happiness or lack thereof. Like, you have to, you know, stay true to your goals and stay true to your vision, and other people's opinions won't even matter. You know, some people are meant to be in our lives and some people aren't, and it's just a matter of drudging forward and doing what you want to do. You only get one life.
So consider this one. Here's one I've heard quite frequently lately, especially in the online community. It goes, life is a lot like video games. If you encounter enemies, you know you're going the right way.
That one's strong, especially for a generation that, you know, has grown up playing video games. And it's so true. If you're going the wrong way, then, you know, you've already taken care of all those enemies. And especially in the video game, the closer you get to your goals, the more enemies there are to fight. And that's so true in life. You know, like, it's so crazy how, you know, people would rather use their energy to tear someone down because they feel less than adequate than they would to put that belief and energy into themselves and actually do something with their life. Life isn't about finding yourself. Life is about creating yourself. If you don't like who you are now, then do something you haven't done before and change. Like, we all have the ability to change our mind, to change our feelings, to change our goals, to change our perspectives. It comes through education and training our brain. A lot of people just let their brain, you know, do all the work. And it's like a pot with a hole in the bottom of it. And if you don't keep putting into it, eventually it's going to be empty and you're going to be zombified. You know, you're not going to have that control, and you're going to have to, you know, keep filling your pot back up with information and education and stuff in order for you to even, you know, get back to where you need to be so that you can work towards your goals. There is no elevator to success. You have to take the stairs, and it's one step in front of the other with patience, persistence, and preparation. Napoleon Hill says that patience, persistence, and preparation will make an unbeatable combination for success. And it's the three P's. It's a golden rule. Like, you know, you're going to have sweat and blood and tears, but you're going to have patience, and you can't give up. I mean, things don't just come to us, and the ones that do are taken up very quickly by the people who go get it. So if you don't want breadcrumbs left over, then, you know, you definitely have to get up and just go relentlessly towards your success.
You know, what you just said about success being stairs going up and not an elevator to the top made me think about that game Chutes and Ladders, because it's not always stairs going up. Sometimes, you know, just through the bad roll of the dice, you hit that ladder that slides you right back down. But you dust yourself off, you know the way you got up before, you do it again, and you keep persevering.
Here's a good one by Walt Whitman, and it says, keep your face always towards the sunshine, and shadows will fall behind you. You know, just keep your face on the light that you want to see, like the way that you want to go, and, you know, everything else is just going to be part of the past. But you do have to definitely be consistent and persistent.
Yeah, I like that one because it still invokes the same imagery that there's a path you're on, and nobody's going to carry you on that path. You have to walk it.
Ooh, Harold Taylor, the roots of true achievement lie in the will to become the best that you can become. The old school quote, where there's a will, there's a way. Definitely true, you know, because out of will becomes passion. And that passion will bring the perseverance, and perseverance definitely will bring some perspiration, but it also brings success.
And, of course, what was that old, I think it was a quote from Thomas Edison, which means he probably stole it from Nikola Tesla, which is success is 1% inspiration, 99% perspiration, something like that?
Yeah, I do believe I've heard that one. It's definitely hard work. It's definitely hard work and not giving up. Eleanor Roosevelt said, the future belongs to those who believe in the beauty of their dreams, meaning if you can think it, you can achieve it, only though if you believe it. You know, you got to dream big. They say, aim for the moon, so then you land in the stars.
Oh, that reminds me of a quote from Bruce Lee. It was from his movie Enter the Dragon, in the scene where he's teaching a young student, and the student isn't quite grasping what, you know, Bruce Lee is trying to teach him. And so Bruce holds out his finger and points it to the sky, and he says, success is like pointing away to the moon. Don't focus on the finger, or you'll miss out on the heavenly glory.
That's very strong. Without positive attitudes, success is called luck. But with positive attitudes, success is called achievement. And it's saying, like, instead of worrying about your success, worry about your achievements, because those are going to be, you know, the stepping stones that, you know, the power of positive, the more positives you get, it's like a snowball effect. You know, how in sales they would have us do the yes down thing. And we would, you know, we would ask little questions that we knew the answer was going to be yes. And we would ask so many little questions that the answer we knew for sure was going to be yes, until, you know, the person just got in the habit of saying yes, 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 yes. So that way when you went to close them and the thing that you wanted, they were already comfortable with telling you yes. Because that's a hard thing for people to get comfortable with, but it's a snowball effect. And if you instead of looking at the big picture of success, if you have your goals broken down into little achievements that you want to accomplish, those little achievements are going to be the kindling on the fire that's eventually going to lead, you know, to your dreams, to your success. You know, you can't have a bright burning fire without putting logs on it. And so if you're thinking about the little marks along the way, you know, your fire is definitely going to burn brighter.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Go ahead.
You're good. Go ahead.
So I was just wondering, I was just thinking about, back in the In the 80s, there was a man named Lee Iacocca, who was big in the automotive industry. He was big in the Ford Motor Company, and he also was involved in Chrysler. And he's quoted as telling his employees that by the end of the day, I want 100 bad ideas on my desk. And the reason that he would say that is because he would look at 100 ideas, and out of those 100 ideas, there'd be one thing that he could develop and make into something successful.
I remember when they used to do the little exercises with us, and they would make us come up with 20 ideas a piece for whatever we were working on, because, like, the first ideas are going to come easy. And then as you go on, like, you're going to have to be more creative so that you're not just repeating the same thing. And I think that, like, the 18th through 20th idea are the ones that you really want to go with, because those are the ones that, you know, like, your entire brain weren't actually working on to come up with. It wasn't just a fly-by-night, you know, it wasn't just an idea. It was an actual thought.
So I'm curious, can you think of an example in your own personal life, in your experiences, whether it be in work or in your personal life, where you had an idea, something you wanted to accomplish, and it just was not going well, and then there was that aha moment where everything changed and it turned out into a success?
I don't know if I could pin it down to just one. You know, there's lots of those that, you know, you'll be going along and things will seem difficult, and then you'll sit back and evaluate why they're difficult. And if you take the time to do that, you'll understand why they're difficult. And then, you know, what you think about is who you are. Like, you know, what you allow your to entertain your mind is inevitably who you are. So if you're thinking about these things on what you're wanting to improve, and that's the subject of your thoughts, then your subconscious, even when you're not thinking about it, is going to go through while you're sleeping, while you're staring into space, sometimes while people are talking to you, your subconscious is going to be at work trying to figure out how to make the process easier, smoother, better, faster to get to your goals. I think that in order to have those aha moments, we have to be focused on improvement and not just focused on the lack thereof, because, the law of attraction in your thoughts is, you know, if you wake up in the morning and stub your toe, and then you focus on, dang it, I was late to work, and then I stubbed my freaking toe, and then I was mad about that, so I spilled my coffee, and, like, the whole day has been crap, and blah, 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 instead of, you know, you made it to work on time, and, you know, you still have coffee. You know, just focusing on the positive definitely, and what you want to produce out of that definitely can make a difference in your day and help you get to those aha moments. Because, like, honestly, it just comes down to, you know, what are you allowing your mind to entertain? For each negative thought, you have to have 3 positive thoughts to bring you back to a neutral standing ground, back to a positive, because the one negative would eliminate the negative, the one positive would eliminate the negative, the second positive would bring you neutral, and then the third positive would actually make you positive. So for every negative thought you have in your head, you know, you're setting yourself back times 3. So now you have to come up with 3 positives just to bring yourself back to a positive standing. And that was one thing that I was taught, you know, a long time ago, is that the 3 positives it takes to eliminate the negative. It's so true, because, you know, if someone says something negative about you, it's so easy just to focus on what they said instead of telling yourself, I'm beautiful, I'm worth it, I deserve success. You know, those 3 things, like, you know, even if somebody called me whatever name, you know, telling myself those three things will not only help you get back into a positive mind frame, but it'll also help you build confidence in yourself. I know that a lot of, like, those moments come from positive affirmation is a huge key to success because, you know, you have, first and foremost, have to believe in yourself. If you don't believe in yourself, who else is going to? You know, family, here's a quote that says, family isn't always blood. It's the people in your life who want you in there, the ones who accept you for who you are, and the ones who would do anything to see you smile, love you no matter what. You need to surround yourself with those people, and believe it or not, they can even help push you in the right direction. But a lot of it comes from, you know, what you allow your mind to entertain. Like I said, you know, like my whole life has been a series of aha moments, you know, and I'm constantly progressing. And my goals are constantly changing, but the key is to make sure you have goals. Because I know on the days where my goals, or even the weeks or months where my goals are not in front and foremost part of my mind, that I'll sleep 10 hours instead of 8, or, you know, take a nap in the middle of the day. You know, I have tons of things that I could be getting done, but since I'm not thinking about my goals, you know, they're not at the front of my mind, then they just don't end up happening because I don't make them important. I was told when I said about that luck earlier is that, you know, the positive attitude, without positive attitude, it's luck. I was taught a long time ago that luck is an acronym for laboring under correct knowledge, and that people will call you lucky, but really it just means that you are smart enough to follow the plan, and so then you benefited, and that people who don't believe in hard work, you know, tend to call it luck because, you know, the people who do believe in hard work and they work the way they're supposed to under the correct knowledge, you know, they're the ones that get the blessing.
There's I really like that. I'm going to have to write that one down about luck. Laboring under correct knowledge.
Yes.
I'm literally writing that down right now.
I know, they're like, you're lucky. And I'm like, no, I just did what I was supposed to do. Like, I got up and I worked for it. If you call hard work luck, you know, and I think that's why they're saying, you know, it's the difference between having a positive attitude. Without a positive attitude, it's luck. But with a positive attitude, it's achievement. You know, if you're very positive about what you're going after and people know that you're positive about going after it, then they know that your hard work was actually, you know, an achievement instead of, oh, it just came to you because you weren't, you know, working hard and consistently excited about what you have to do. I'm looking at this little, it's a picture of stairs and little dudes on each stair, little stick figure dudes. And the bottom one, he's sitting down, and then gradually he's, like, getting up and up, where at the top of it, he's, like, jumping in the air with his feet kicked to the side. And it says, which step have you reached today? I won't do it. I can't do it. I want to do it. How do I do it? I'll try to do it. I can do it. I will do it. Or, yes, I did it. And that is, to me, just looking at the picture or even, you know, just thinking about the words, you know, what did you tell yourself today? I won't do it. I can't do it. I want to do it. I want to do it's only even the third step out of seven.
Right.
How do I do it? That means you're almost ready to take motion.
You're at least looking into it.
I'll try to do it. That guy has like 1 foot, like he's getting ready to take a step on the next step. I can do it. He's like kind of, he's still standing on the same step, but he's got, you know, his hands in the air like he's excited. And then I will do it is running to the top, and yes, I did it, is like jumping, you know, that heel kick to the side, hands in the air. It's kind of a strong little figure picture right there. You know, it's like, what step are you on? The only ones that really seem to matter is I will do it and yes, I did it. all the rest of them are just, you know, they're staying in the same spot.
Yeah, and absolutely. And, you know, I think, you know, I was in the military, and one thing that we used to always say is, especially when I was in basic training, you can be on the right track, but if you're just standing there, the train's going to run you over.
Right. This is a really pretty, yeah, you're going to get run over. That was going back to, you know, people who wait for things to come to them. You know, you're gonna get, it's like going to the grocery store during the middle of a hurricane and trying to get a package of water. The people who have the stronger desire and need are going to beat you to that checkout line. And, you know, you're going to be standing there thirsty when the storm hits.
You know, on that subject, I want to ask you, you know, we live in different geographic areas of the United States. Whenever there's a major snowstorm or a hurricane coming, if you go to the grocery store, is it always people just raiding the bread, milk, and toilet paper?
It does seem like that, and milk isn't even good for you.
No, it isn't.
And I don't even know why they would even want the milk, you know what I mean? Like, because how long is that going to last?
Right.
I mean, maybe canned milk, condensed milk, maybe.
I'll tell
oh
you what,
goodness.
I always keep plenty of food in my house. So if there's a storm coming and I need provisions, I'm buying up all the beer and ice.
Heck yeah. That's awesome. He's like, oh my goodness, that's awesome. I went through Jean, Francis, Charlie, Isaac, and a whole lot more. I lived in Florida for 12 years, but those are the ones that I remember the most, because I remember, like, Jean went through, and I went and stayed in a hurricane shelter, and it was in the county, you know, down from where my aunt had lived, and she went to St. Pete or something, so they were on the inland, on the south, so they weren't really affected by her because she was elderly. And I was terrified because I'm like, so we have a hurricane and the chance of tornado, and there's no basement. And so I took my kids and I went and stayed in the hurricane shelter, which was a school, and lo and behold, you know, because I have an infant, they put us right next to the bathroom, which is the worst place, I think, for them to put us. Because what do you think happens all night? People are restless, anxious. They're constantly in and out of that room. I got absolutely no sleep. And then all of a sudden, we hear this crash, and then we hear this car alarm set going on. And it was right on the other side of the wall. And the person whose car had to, who actually ended up being, was in the same room as me, so they're freaking out because they're like, dude, that's my car. I'm parked there. And I'm like, what the heck hit your car? Well, the roof off of the building that we were sitting in, the shelter, had flown off of the shelter. And not the entire thing, but a good portion of it. And so we couldn't, like, see through to the sky. We weren't getting wet, but, like, a big chunk of the roof had fallen onto this person's vehicle. And I remember the next time I'm like, I'm not even going to the shelter. That was a nightmare.
Yeah.
So with that, Jean had pushed the frame of my aunt's house over like 4 inches. And so it was raining in her kitchen where it ripped her pool enclosure off. And so it was like raining into her kitchen. And then Ivan came through and he was kind of like, that was the first one that like hit us and then went up to like North Carolina. And then, like, did a U-turn and came back to Florida and hit us again. And so he just sat there and, like, rained on us for, like, 2 days. Meanwhile, they wouldn't even let, you know, us back into they wouldn't let me, because my aunt's like, before I look at my house and see if it's still standing. And they wouldn't even let me back in because my wife's county. And so it was like, you couldn't even get home if you hadn't updated your ID. And, like, it was all police blocked. The whole cities were. And so then when Francis came through, I was like, well, I'm just going to stay in my apartment. Nothing happened in my apartment. And so I went to stay with some friends, and it was pretty freaking wild watching, like, the windows flex. Like, the windows would bow, like, a good half an inch, and you were just, like, waiting for them to explode. And so at the end of it, we ended up, because when the wind would come back on the backside of the apartment, we ended up taking all of the mattresses from the beds and putting them in the living room against the sliding glass door, because we're like, oh, my goodness, if those things broke, we would be done for. And then my friends went out in the eye and were walking around, and I parked my car next to this little teeny tiny freaking tree that wasn't even maybe like a 4-inch in diameter, not even speaking. And they come back in, and they're like, so is there any damage out there? And they're like, no, there's just a tree on this one car. And then she goes, oh my gosh, I think that might be your car. And I was like, are you kidding me? So out of the entire complex, the only thing that got messed up was my car. And they're out there trying to, like, push it off. And I'm like, in the eyes, like, starting to get nasty. And I'm like, don't even worry about it. The tree blew it one way, and when it passes, it's going to blow it back the other way. It's going to blow it off my car. But I had, like, so little, my whole back end of my car was all dented in. But we ended up surviving, and it was so crazy, you know, because they definitely say about the newspaper people mailmen, it's rain, wind, snow, or hurricanes. They still have to do their job. And I remember them telling me that, you know, I had to go deliver these newspapers. And I'm telling my boss, I'm like, listen, I'm dropping the paper into one driveway, and it flies three driveways down the road. You know, like, how are you going to classify whether, I'm like, how are you going to know whether I did my job or not? Like, right at this point, I'm just putting a bunch of dangerous items, like basically throwing missiles out into the neighborhood. And she's like, well, I don't care. You have to deliver your paper. So me being the smarty pants that I am, I'm like, well, I'm not going to continue the route because I know that I'm going to have to run the entire thing in the morning anyway, because none of these papers are staying where they're supposed to. And I'm basically just littering, which I thought was not a good deed. So I'm like, how do I feel better about myself about not doing my paper out? So I took all my newspapers to the local church and donated them in the recycling bin.
never mind the papers getting where they belong. How are you going to have your own safety?
Oh, well, they don't care about our safety. We're independent contractors. Oh, man.
You know,
and then the next day, they're like yelling at us to get these papers out to these people. You know, they want to see what all damage had happened over the night. And I'm like, there's live power lines across the road. And they're like, well, you got to get to the house. And you're like, okay, well, this road is a river now. And there's a power line cut on me. Like, just trying to get through to myself was insane afterwards. And the amount of, like, animals that it would bring up, like, there was playing Frogger with the blue crabs come out of the river, you know, because the river was flooded. And so there's, like, little blue crabs running everywhere, and you're like, oh, my gosh, my tire's going to get tough. I did learn, though, you do not cook bacon on the grill. As good as it sounds, you don't do it.
It's funny you mentioned Frogger, because what you were just describing, around the same time that Frogger came out, there was an arcade game called Paperboy, where you played a newspaper delivery boy who was constantly under threat of getting run over by cars backing out of the driveway and angry dogs and crazy neighbors and such.
Oh, my
gosh.
That was on, like, the Nintendo, right? That old school Nintendo.
Well, it was an arcade game first, and then it came out on Nintendo. And what you're describing sounds a lot like the terrors that go on in that game.
I think the
game was safer than what you went through.
You know, my recommendation if you are moving newly to Florida or anywhere that has hurricanes is when there's a storm approaching, do make sure that you go get the water that you need. You're going to need water. You're going to need canned food that is, like, you know, soups or, like, beans and hot dogs or anything canned. Open your freezer as little as possible get the things out that you want for that day or for the 2 days, and then don't open your freezer because it'll stay frozen as long as you don't keep opening it. You know, make sure that you cook your chicken first because obviously that's the thing it's cooked. But first and foremost, go to the gas station and fill your car up with gas because you will not find gas anywhere. I don't know what it is. I think it's, you know, everybody rushing to get out, or the gas tankers not coming, not doing deliveries because of the storm, or what it is. But I'm telling you, every single gas station will be sold out of ice, they will be sold out of water, and they will be sold out of gas. It's crazy. You might want to grab your cigarettes, too, because I've seen that. And people are just, oh, my gosh. If you're like one of the ones stuck on, you know, government population control devices, make sure that you get them because, you know, you think it's stressful when you're a hurricane out of heat for you not to have your necessity. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, definitely. You know, I always thought it was funny that everybody's running for when the storm would come, but they do. And I'm telling you, like, it'll take a good 4 or 5 days before they fit, and sometimes even 2 weeks, depending on how bad the storm was, so, you know, how much damage is done to the areas, and so whether or not they can get trucks back in. You know, all the dairy products go bad because they can't keep them on the shelf. Once the car goes off, they're legally not allowed to keep that those products on the shelf. So it might not be that you think that everyone bought that stuff. It's just that the store wasn't allowed to leave it on the shelf because there was no refrigeration. The milk deal, it's crazy. The strongest factor for success is self-esteem, believing you can do it, believing you deserve it, and believing you will get it. What were you going to say?
Well, on the subject of, you know, long-term power outages and not having fresh water and such, I always keep plenty of freeze-dried food on hand that has a years-long shelf life. Camp stoves, the little gas canisters that you can use so that you can cook your food and boil your water. Things
honestly,
of that nature.
I think, you know, with everything going on with, all of this, and I see all this stuff on my news feed, and it's like, oh, my Lord, you know, I mean, we all knew it was coming, but it's not Trump's fault. It's been like the last 4 or 5 presidents that continuously pushed us towards this. But, you know, I mean, I just saw that Japan just sent a whole fleet of naval ships over to North Korea to show that they're backing the U.S. I think pretty much everybody's on the side of the U.S. going on now. If you have, you know, if you don't have food stored, I would definitely suggest, you know, making it a point to grab 4 or 5 more gallons of water than what you use each week and start stacking up on water and non-perishable canned food items. They have the military, they have some really good, like, they get for camping. You know how the military, you have a freeze-dried thing where you just add boiling water and you get a whole meal in a bag. Like, I've had some really good ones because I have friends who have bunkers and, you know, insane amounts of, like, ammunition and stuff because they've been, you know, they've been packing supplies for you know, what's possibly about to go down for a good 10, 20 years. You know, I know that the people who have been packing up for the last 10, 20 years are very limited in the people who they are going to accept into their camps as well. So make sure that you and a group of friends are doing what you can to, in our future, in the fact that we don't know what it brings. I mean, we're talking about being successful, but let's talk about survival, too. You know, there's a lot of crazy stuff going on in the world right now. And, you know, I would say that probably most people do not have enough, you know, supplies to make it, you know, 6 months without a job, let alone, you know, if we were to go through, some people don't even have enough supplies to make it 6 days without some sort of income or stuff coming in. And then, you know, we have the threat of potentially a nuclear war and the Third World War, and in your goal sheet, make sure that you put down survival goals, because it's becoming more and more of a reality every day. I'm like, I don't watch the news, and I don't think I can handle watching the news, but I see enough in my news feed on Facebook that I think definitely, planning for those times is among the need to, not the should have, don't have it be a case of the should have. It's not going to help you when it comes to surviving. This quote is by Tommy Lasorda. I don't even know if I said his last name right, but the difference between impossible and possible lies in a man's determination. There's so many people who, like myself included, were told that, first off, I was told I was not allowed to ride horses again by my doctors, and lo and behold, that's what actually put my hips back into enough strength that I can function, at the level that I do. I have also, that same year that they told me I wasn't allowed to ride, about 4 years after they told me I wasn't allowed to ride horses, I went on to win a 4th in state for cattle sorting issues and back issues, but the things that people tell you can't do are probably some of the things that you should do, because they're not necessarily bad for you if someone else doesn't believe in you, and you should definitely believe in yourself. What's up?
There's a one more quote that I wanted to share was from Rocky Balboa. It's not about how hard you can hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and still keep moving forward.
Yeah, wasn't it Confucius said that fall down 7 times, get up 8? And that's
absolutely
how you know for sure that you're successful. It's not how many times you've...
I had that one written down. That's a great one.
Nothing worth having comes easy. Stop doubting yourself. Work hard and make it happen. Hard work doesn't guarantee success, but it improves its chances.
Well, there's another one that you've always said that I've taken to heart is, you can get bitter, or you can get better.
It took me a lot of times of getting bitter to start. I was told a long time ago, if you hear something, you forget it. If you write it down, you remember it. If you teach it, you own it. So I used to get bitter all the time, and I became a very volatile person because, little things would get to me, and I wouldn't, I got to the point where I would be focusing on my adversity instead of my goals, And adversity becomes mere challenges when you're focused on your goals. It's not a stopper. It's an obstacle. Like, it's, something that you overcome, and you look forward to those chances to overcome something so that you feel better about, obtaining your goals. If goals were easy, then everybody would be doing it. Not everybody is going to find success in their life. It's determined by your level of discipline and perseverance. Here's a quote. Discipline is the foundation upon which all success is built. Lack of discipline inevitably leads to failure. You can build your house on sand, or you can build your house on stone. What's your foundation going to be made of? Is it going to be, a lot of self-discipline and perseverance, or are you just going to, bebop your way to the top? Like, are your goals written down, or are they still just mere wishes? But the difference between getting bitter and getting better has definitely been a life-changing quote to me, because you do have
you have the choice of how you do not have the choice of what happens to you, but you do have the choice of how you react versus respond to what happens to you. And if you find yourself just going off of like your emotions and reacting, 100% chance you're going to have a much harder time accepting and moving forward versus responding. And I've even had to go to the point where I've, you know, approached principals at schools and told them that they need to go back to the basics and teach their teachers the differences between reacting versus responding. Because a lot of these teachers nowadays, with the students the way they are, you know, they just react. They don't take a minute, you know, if your feelings are involved, then you need to take a minute and remove yourself from that subject until you can go back and respond to it instead of react to it. And that's where a lot of failure comes from, is, you know, getting bitter instead of better and reacting instead of responding. Those are, like, just the amount of times that I've told myself those two scenarios in the last year, and where I've come from focusing on, you know, you can either get bitter or better, or are you reacting or are you responding? You know, it's huge. It's insanely huge, the amount of, you know, effect that it has on your future and yourself and your sanity even.
Well, with that, and thank you for that. It looks like we're just about out of time, so I just wanted to thank you for having me as your guest host tonight. And if I may, I just want to plug my site, nsfwpics.net. You can host your adult pictures there with no membership fee, no pop-ups. You keep your own copyright. And
yeah, we don't.
No bullshit.
This show's actually rated public. So, Wednesday show, like, so when you go into someone's house, there's a difference between race and where you have to leave your pants on and where you don't. And so, I know that I didn't warn you in advance, but Success Saturday is strictly, you know, PG, just everybody, because, you know, we can reach out as a station to more people by having public rated shows versus having them R rated every time. So, the new music
My apologies.
And it's kind of wild, it's old beast, but Hump Day is where we do you can take your pants off. So you are welcome to call in any time and advertise your site on that one. And thank you so much. Oh, you're good. That's my fault anyway, because I didn't say anything to you. But thank you so much for calling in, and anytime you would like to join on Success Saturday, I'd love to have you. Definitely been fun. The hour went by super fast, and, you know, I think that we got a lot more substance than if I was just on here, you know, talking to myself, because, you know, you are definitely, I don't know, we vibe well together, so I can't wait to hang out with you at some of the events that we have coming up, and I guess I will talk to
you. Thank you so much, and we'll chat later.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you, everybody, for calling in. Remember, 619-924-0897 to call in. Press 1 to be joined live. If you want to call in next Saturday or any Saturday for that matter, 5:30 Central Time is when we go live. You know, have some success, folks, or even just call in and listen to ours and chime in. We're glad to have some callers on the show. And who knows, you might win a prize.